Now, Hong Kong, the hugga mugga, crowded, ultra-urban, and yet teeming with gastronomic possibility too. So let's put two and two together. That means produce. Now, it was a search for fresh produce that led Janice Leung-Hayes to take a look at Hong Kong's accessibility for farm fresh fruit and vegetables. And it turned out, yes, that need was there. And Janice became the force behind Hong Kong's largest farmers market. Welcome, Janice.
Hi, nice to be here.
It was important to you that Hong Kong should have a farmers market?
Yeah, I grew up in Melbourne, actually, and we went to like Queen Victoria Market once a week. And when I was in uni, small local farmers markets started popping up in every suburb. And it was just part of daily life. And things like, local produce, like it wasn't even talked about because it's pretty much a given. Whereas in Hong Kong, even if you're at a fresh food market, which is what we call a wet market, everything's actually imported. Hmm. So over 90% of our food is imported. When you look at fruits and veg, that goes up to 97%. Even if you go to the supermarket, there's these little flag stickers to tell you where everything's from. And it's as if imported was somehow better. But having come from Melbourne, I know that the shorter the distance the food travels to you, the better it's going to taste. It was pretty important and also pretty weird for me to go back to Hong Kong and think, oh, wait, we're this gastronomic capital, and yet we know nothing about our produce. We have no control over it. We don't know how it's grown. People are so removed.
That's a really interesting thing, because the two things, you mentioned Melbourne, I mean, the culture around eating and the culture around, the production of that produce is very close. And it's that association which is sort of the leading force in gastronomic culture these days. So really interesting that a place as steeped in gastronomic culture as Hong Kong would disassociate those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because as I did more and more research into it, I found that actually up until the 1960s or so, Hong Kong was growing a large part of its own produce, including rice, which is our staple. Mm. And the fact that it then became an industrial center, so people who worked on farms pretty much left and to start to work in factories. And then when mainland China opened up, factories moved into mainland China, and actually so did farming. So we basically have outsourced everything. We're now a service industry. We don't produce anything tactile, actually.
So you saw the need and you felt that this could be a possibility. What did you do next?
Well, the main thing was looking for a space. So if you look at Melbourne, it's pretty easy. You kind of go to a primary school or something and their car park is open on the weekend because it's not being used anyway. And you'd probably talk to the school and borrow their space. So it's not that easy in Hong Kong, as you can imagine, because there's skyscrapers everywhere. There's very little open space. And space is really expensive. So basically, once I decided I wanted to do it, I just opened up maps on my computer and looked at the satellite images, just trying to find small open spaces that could fit maybe, 30, 40 stalls. and that's what I did. I mean, I knew the farmers are out in the New Territories, which is the sort of northwestern to the northeastern kind of band of Hong Kong, mm-hmm. Bordering China. So people who live in the city are the ones who know least about farmers. So I really wanted the market to be in the city. So I just scanned the whole of Hong Kong Island, trying to look at the downtown areas, just looking for a space. It took a long time.
What did you find?
Well, initially I was looking at public parks, but then because of licensing issues, I found that actually we couldn't do basically any sort of trade in public parks. So then I started inquiring about private properties. So I ended up finding a private road in Quarry Bay, which is on a commercial district in the eastern part of Hong Kong. And because the landlords actually own the road, they're able to close it off whenever they need to. And they've put events on and things like that there. So Mondays to Fridays, it's a very busy area because there's lots of office buildings. But on Saturdays and Sundays, they can close it off. So basically, I just cold-called them and said, hey, I want to use your space. Let's talk. It took a few calls, but they finally answered and we just started the market.
And what do they think of the idea? Did they get the concept?
Yeah, I mean, that's really important, I think. This sort of partnership between the landlord and what we do is super important because they need to understand that it's not for rent. Like, it's not, they're not going to gain much money from it. Actually, they spend more than they actually earn back. They really need to understand that it's a community effort and it's something that will benefit people who live and work in the area. And that's what we've found with this space now in Quarry Bay, Taikoo Place.
It's grown a bit like Topsy, 40 or so stalls now.
When we first started way back in 2012 under a different name in the same place, it was arts and crafts as well as food and farmers. And we actually had up to 70 stalls per week. And back then that was because we hadn't yet gotten the support of the landlords. We had to make our ends meet. So we really put in like loads, as many vendors as we could. But now that the landlords are involved, they want people to move around more freely and they want the concept to be more focused, which is what I want as well, which is that it's all food. Now we have about 40 stalls.
So having found your space, having, you know, refined the concept, I mean, the next thing is to find that produce, to find the farmers that you want to work with. How hard was that?
I actually found the farmers first and then decided on a market because I needed to know that we could
get... I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So actually it was the farmers that inspired me to start the markets. So I'm a food writer as well. So I basically, through researching about the whole locavore movement, I decided to look into whether Hong Kong has any local produce at all. And to my surprise, I felt quite ashamed as a food writer to not know that we had farmers in Hong Kong. So when I found that there were and that they were trying to farm in a sustainable manner, I sort of thought, well, why can't we buy your stuff? You know, why can't we see your things in the supermarket or in the wet markets? So that's actually how I got started. And once I contacted like two or three farmers, that whole community is really small. So basically contacting two of them meant contacting, you know, the other 25.
And the people buying from the market, are we talking mainly about domestic consumption or is the restaurant trade getting involved and seeing what's there?
It's mostly domestic consumption at the moment, although we're seeing more and more chefs become interested in local produce. The thing about Hong Kong is because importing is so easy, it's so easy for a chef to just pick up the phone to a distributor and go, okay, I want however many boxes of the best tomatoes money can buy from Provence in France or something. And it would be delivered to them in 2 days. It would be on a plane. It's almost more convenient for them to just pick up the phone and call someone than actually come down to the market. That's the irony of living in Hong Kong.
And yet there's a small sustainability subtext in sourcing your tomatoes from Provence, from Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. That's what Hong Kong's become in the past 20, 30 years. Just to get people more used to consuming locally was our first challenge. To say that Hong Kong people didn't understand what local produce was is an understatement. Like if you say, oh, it was grown in Hong Kong, they're like, what do you mean? Do you mean it was, you know, across just near Hong Kong, like across the border? Or like, did someone grow it in a garden? They can't grow more than 10 tomatoes, can they? And so we got a lot of questions like that in the beginning, but it's actually changed quite a bit now, and people are recognizing that there's local produce.
So what's your next step in taking over the produce provision in Hong Kong?
Well, I mean, you raised a good point about the restaurants. I mean, that's our next goal, to get more chefs involved, because I think with industry involvement, it can really push the movement further, and people would be kind of more used to the idea of consuming local produce. And the second thing is that we're working with some of the other markets around town, like quite a few have popped up since we started. And we're just working together to raise awareness about seasonality and certain things that grow really well in Hong Kong, or even not exactly native, but just native to the region, and that people might not know as well, such as like hibiscus, that's edible and it's a great color and it's really good for like Chinese medicine doctors see it as a really good flower as well. So things like that.
All sorts of potential. Jettis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Janice Leung Hayes, now she's going to be, well, having convinced various portions of the Hong Kong marketing class, she's coming to Melbourne to preach to the converted at the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. She'll be talking about sustainability, reducing food waste, and how restaurants can lead the way in that. We will pop a link on the Blueprint site. And this is, yes, Blueprint here on RN.